Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Arsblog Arscast right here on arsblog.com. How are you? Hope you're well. Thank you for being here. As always, it is a beautiful Thursday afternoon when I'm recording this. I'm upstairs in my studio, but I have the window open. The warm breeze is coming through. The skies are blue. The sun is out. The temperature is high and my neighbor is lying in his cabana listening to the Gypsy Kings. You hear it? All right, maybe you can't, but he's having a great time out there. And why not? Why not? We don't get enough of summer in this country, so when it does arrive, you have to make the most of it. So I'm recording in the afternoon, and then I'm probably going to retire to the garden. I may drink a beer or two. Who knows? I'm going to cook some stuff on the barbecue because, well, why the fuck not? Why the fuck not? Anyway, preseason has begun, and that is as sure a sign as anything that the season is coming. Because once preseason begins, the next thing is season. And after that, it's postseason, and then you get to preseason again. So there's only three things, and we are 100% in the pre. In the pre in which the Smiths scored our goal the other night against Hibernian, we lost 2-1. I mean, I did think about writing a strongly worded letter, perhaps setting up a petition. And to be perfectly honest, I'm sorry I wasn't at the game and caught on the TV cameras crying at the result because we lost. And some nice people, and definitely not complete weirdos looking for attention, would have set up a GoFundMe to make me feel better. But hey, look, you can't have everything, eh? We do have another game this weekend, another one in Scotland against Rangers at Ibrox. So that's the second part of our preseason. You know, I've spoken about this before. I really don't get too bent out of shape one way or the other about preseason results. I think primarily what we need to see this preseason is how we shape the squad for the start of the actual season. So there's plenty of work to do in that regard. And with me to talk about what's gone on this week and what we still have to do and more, it's Andrew Allen. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Preseason has begun. An exciting evening in Edinburgh against Hibernian. 2-1 win. I mean, we were robbed. Let's face it, we were robbed. That second goal was miles offside. We missed a penalty. It should have been a convincing 2-1 win to Arsenal, really.
Honestly, I think Arsenal probably could have won that by quite a few goals, to be honest. There were so many missed opportunities. It was a real kind of second gear performance. Although, you know, some of the guys looked pretty sprightly. I was actually quite impressed by Pepe when he came off the bench at half time. I mean, he was really involved on both wings. But, I mean, it's one of those where when the guys have been in training for like 2 days, you really, really can't read too much into it. And I think, you know, the Hibs fans obviously enjoyed the fact that they got one over on Arsenal.
Bear with me one second. I've got somebody at the door. Hang on.
Maybe I'll do the doorbell music.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
There's a man delivering a thing, so there you go. We were talking about...
Happens a lot.
Happens a lot these days. So much cardboard to recycle, it should be said. So yeah, you were talking about Hibs fans enjoying getting one over on us. There were a few in the comments on Arsblog News, actually, who seemed to enjoy it all right.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think that was the first time they'd had fans in their stadium since March 2020. So, I mean, there was only a small number, a couple of thousand. And even though there weren't supposed to be Arsenal fans there, you could definitely hear a couple of the the Arsenal fans in the stadium kind of giving it a bit of giving the players a bit of jip when they were giving the ball away.
There was at least one, wasn't there? You could hear him shouting in the background, at least one guy quite close to the microphones or whatever. It is a weird one, though, isn't it? Because, you know, for the game against Rangers on Saturday, 2,000 fans are allowed in. There was, I guess it was a similar thing for the game at Easter Road. And it's sort of in contrast to what we just saw at the weekend with Wembley absolutely packed with 60,000 people. And even some of the games at the Euros that took place at Hampden Park, there were more people allowed in there. So, yeah, it's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Because, look, this is pre-season. You can't take it too seriously. You can't sort of draw huge conclusions, certainly from the first couple of games of preseason anyway. But for people to see that many people in stadiums at the weekend and then be restricted to just a couple of thousand seems a bit odd.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I know Scotland have got slightly different rules under Nicola Sturgeon, and I guess they're probably kind of being treated as test events for some of these clubs who've not had any fans at all for such a long time. Yeah, I'm assuming with Arsenal's preseason fixtures, I mean, obviously there's ones in America, but the ones that are in England, part of this Mind series or Mind Games or whatever people are calling it, I'm guessing that they'll be inviting a full house ahead of the season starting. I mean, the restrictions here are supposed to end, in theory, on July 19th, which is, what, 4 days' time. 5 days' time. So, it's a weird new world we're going into.
One of the standout features of the game against Hibs, certainly in retrospect, was Willian's belly. And we've got some questions from our Discord that we're going to go through here. I like this one from Ricky Dobbs, who says, if the camera adds 10 pounds, just how many cameras were on Willian? I mean, it is possible maybe that it is a slight trick of the light. I saw the pictures doing the rounds on social media, and I was like, maybe someone's having a bit of fun here photoshopping this, which is not beyond the realms of possibility. So I downloaded the game, and yeah, look, those are real pictures. That's a real bulge. It has been some time, I have to say, since I've seen a footballer come back from their summer holidays looking like that. I sent it to my brother and he went, whoa, he looks like one of us, which is never good, I guess. You know, we're heading into sort of Jan Molby territory here. Thomas Brolin, I mean, he Willian is making Andre Santos look like Kate Moss.
What's he been doing, though? I mean, it's not like he's been off that long.
I mean, I don't know.
It's crazy. I know that he visited the Salt Bay guy. I don't know whether that, you know, he
sprinkly
was
meat wanker,
kind of fatty steaks. Yeah, the sprinkly meat wanker. I mean, it is seriously impressive. I mean, at the same time, I mean, I know that players get called fat and have been regularly in the past. You know, I remember Lampard obviously was kind of called that almost week in, week out, wherever he went playing football. But do you remember when Ginola got called fat when he was at Aston Villa and then he went and scored a goal and he whipped his shirt off and he was just this kind of rippling muscles? And I'm kind of wondering, I mean, as laughable as it may sound, if Willian scores against Rangers at the weekend, whether he goes off on one, whips his shirt off, kind of flexing his muscles.
Look at me.
It's enough reason to tune in anyway.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are players, I think, who how would you say it, kind of run to stocky, if you like. Just their natural build is quite stocky. I mean, think of someone like Luke Shaw, for example, who...
Yeah, great example.
Yeah, you know, he has that kind of physique, but is obviously, a highly fit athlete. He played a lot for Manchester United in England. You can't do that if you are... fat and overweight, but it doesn't look good for a 33-year-old player who, had a poor season last season. It's a strange one. Like, it, you know, perhaps he's demotivated. He's not really feeling the love from Arsenal, which is understandable. There's all this talk about how we want to get rid of him, and that's fine as well. Let's do that, but it doesn't make it easier for us when he's got this 2-year contract, he's got this big salary and signing on fee that's being paid over the course of his contract, and you're trying to convince somebody anybody to take him. And yeah, it doesn't make it any easier, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine if he turns up for the medical somewhere, whips his shirt off, and they they go to try and stick the...
A terrible image in my head. Do you remember, was it during the early 2000s, I think, whenever Barcelona signed a player, they would make them do a medical in this kind of, I'm not going to say like a fishnet top, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I've got images of that with things coming out of it and stuff. So,
Rabsy Willian. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's also not at the same time, in the sense that
maybe we shouldn't be making such a reaction of it because we're only drawing attention to what is, you know, a potential issue. We should be, you know, I don't know. I hope Stuart and David Price, the Arsenal photographers, are going to be taking some very flattering photos of him against Rangers. Hopefully the new red kit will be worn with the Go Faster stripe down the side. It'll look more slimming. It'll be fine.
Slimming, yeah. Or Willian's the only one playing in black because that is, you know, black takes off 20 pounds.
Put him in the goalkeeper kit.
On the Discord as well, Painy992 says, thoughts on the new home kit? And there's a picture of Bukayo Saka in the new home kit. Looking pretty fucking swish, I think. I don't know if you can see this picture or whatever, but I'll put it in the chat here. It looks great on Bukayo Saka, but then I do think that there is an element of, you know, everything looking great on Bukayo Saka because, you know, he's actually a highly fit young man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the kit. I mean, it's maybe a little bit too much white on it for me. I'm not a great fan of the red collars either. I prefer a white collar, or it's got, you know, the late 90s vibes. That kind of kit, I just kind of distinctly draw straight to the Wembley Champions League games. It feels like, and then the collar's sort of a bit like the one we had in 2001, 2002, although that had flappy bits over the side. But it's, you know, it's smart. It's definitely like a more, I would say, modern take on things compared to the last couple, which have been quite traditional, I guess, under Adidas. But, you know, I guess they were always going to have to push the boundaries a little bit. You can't produce the same kit every season, can you?
No, that's true. We'll see how it looks on Saturday when we play Rangers, second game of preseason. You know, just going back to that and the training camp that they're on in Scotland and everything else, you know, it's been quite noticeable. I think one of the things this summer has been, look, everyone talks about preseason as being a way of building fitness and stuff like that. And I think it's more about honing fitness in a way, because a lot of the guys have gone away and really worked hard during their summer holidays. We've seen Aubameyang posting videos. Reece Nelson and Joe Willock were like Maverick and the other guy from Top Gun. You know, they were just doing their stuff, topless, running around, sweat glistening, all the stuff that they've been doing to keep themselves fit. So look, you've got to get back into the groove. You've got to, you know, get your touch and all that kind of stuff. But it is, I think, more important this season than ever for Mikel Arteta to kind of implement, you know, he spoke, didn't he, many times about the lack of preseason and how that is has been a factor or a difficulty for him as a manager, and not just him, all the managers. Because you work on certain things, you work on, you know, tactical ideas and formations and systems and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, while we do think about this as a fitness exercise, maybe a bit more than it used to be, how the team plays during preseason is something that we focus on, because, you know, this is an opportunity maybe to put certain things right that weren't going right last season.
Yeah, maybe. My concern at the moment is just looking at the players who are there on the camp at the moment in Scotland and questioning how many of those players are actually going to be there in and around the first team squad when the season starts. And, you know, we know so well that there's a lot of question marks over the future of a lot of them, and there's a lot of question marks over people who aren't there who are due to return. And we've got one piece of business done, potentially a second one incoming, and, you know, there's talk of a third in Ben White, I guess. So it's just who are you getting those ideas across to, and how relevant is it to them at this particular point? But no, I definitely take, I mean, I think some quality time together. I think team bonding in these situations is good. I think the fitness is obviously still there as an underlying thing. My concern is really, is Mikel Arteta preparing a side for those first three games, which are going to happen on this side of the transfer window closing, with the guys he has on the books already in mind to play those games, really? And if that's the case, then yeah, I guess he can really try and push some of the tactical stuff. But I mean, it's kind of hard to predict who the team might be on the first day of the season, I think, at the moment.
No, it is. And like, coming to central midfield, which is an area that we're obviously very keen to see sorted out, it is remarkable, isn't it, that really only Thomas Partey he's the only central midfielder at the club without a question mark over his future. There might be a question mark over how much he can, you know, build on the season that he had last season. And I think it would be reasonable to expect him to do that. But Guendouzi is gone. Ceballos is gone. And then he's got a year left on his contract. It demands some kind of answer. Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who played in midfield against Hibs, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with him. Joe Willock, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? I know I'm forgetting somebody else. Granit Xhaka, of course. What's going to happen with him? He's been linked very heavily with a move away, but there seems to be some sort of impasse between the two clubs when it comes to the price that Roma are willing to pay and what we want. There's a difference that doesn't seem to be made up. Lucas Torreira, Lord knows what's going to happen there. So it is mad that we have all of these players, but the only one that we can say with any real certainty is going to be at the club next season is Thomas Partey. I mean, that's part of what we've needed to sort out this summer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I personally think Elneny will 100% be at the club next season. I think they're going to keep him around as a utility player, I guess. And I think he kind of seems happy enough with his position in the squad. And I think I would imagine him to be around. But yeah, as you say, the rest of them, we've got no idea. I mean, there's obviously the talk about Albert Lokonga coming in, but he's a 21-year-old kid and we have no idea what he can do, how quickly he's going to settle. And then, you know, just a stream of players who've been linked with midfield, I guess, but they're mostly sort of attacking midfielders, aren't they, really? I mean, I guess maybe Locatelli's less so, but I don't have any faith whatsoever in that being the deal that we're actually pursuing. There's so much to do. And actually, like, after that kind of real flurry of transfer rumours, things have really died down in the last couple of weeks. Like, there's really not been a huge amount to talk about on that front, I don't think.
No.
But something's going to have to happen, and you know, it's going to happen at a point where Arteta's super busy, and they're not even going to be in the country for some of it. I mean, they've got to, you know, start doing all this stuff at the exact point when their attention is being drawn elsewhere. You know, whether it be to the preseason friendlies, whether it be to doing stuff in the States for, you know, marketing purposes, whether it's, you know, coming back here and then focusing on the start of the season. There's a lot going to be happening. So I don't know how much is being given to the new guy, Richard Garlick, to pursue on his own terms. Obviously, Edu's working away in the background. I'm sure contact has been made with the key targets. But yeah, I saw today you were writing about where Edu is in the world and what he might be doing.
Well, I mean,
who he might be meeting.
Well, he was celebrating Kia Jurabjian's 50th birthday, it seems, in Monaco, the yacht club in Monaco, with Raul Sanyehi. Now, I don't know what you think about this, and I'm perfectly open to the idea that, you know, friendships exist outside of football. They don't have to intersect with business. The optics of it are not great for a guy who was questioned because of his closeness to Kia and Raul. The Kia players that we've had in the club have not been particularly successful, and obviously Willian has been a total disaster. I just wonder about the common sense applied to posting pictures like that on social media. And I know it wasn't him per se, but it was a close family member putting them up there. Like, what does it look like when you know that you've been questioned over the relationship between you and a certain agent, and the you know, whether the business that was done with that agent was the best business that Arsenal could do. I'm not saying that that business was dodgy. I'm just saying that, like, maybe in all of the players in all of the world, we might have been able to find some different slash better ones than the ones just, you know, who happened to be from the guy who watches games from our director's box, because he's got a close friendship with our technical director. And similarly, Raul, who left the club in inverted commas, you know, it's not that he can't have a friendship with people like that or with those people. I'm not saying that, but I just question the wisdom of making stuff like that public. It's either really dim or he just doesn't care.
Yeah, I would say it's a bit dim to allow that type of picture to surface, especially now. I mean, like, it's crazy. I mean, I don't mind so much that he has a friend and he's gone to the guy's birthday, but I think it's not a great look when you're well aware of the criticism that's been angled at you from so many different directions. And I do feel like maybe the club did have a word with Jurabchin, because he was much quieter in the second half of the season compared to the first. I don't know whether he was sort of said, look, you know, someone had a private word and said, can you please stop going on fucking TalkSport and sticking the knife in every time you get the chance. Who knows? But yeah, it's not a great look. I mean, I don't want to sound bitchy, but I'm surprised Eddie's got the time right now to be flying off to Monaco to go and, you know, party with people. Unless, of course, he's combining business with pleasure, which I guess is the sort of natural reaction that most of us will have when we see those three guys in the same room together. I don't know what Raul's doing these days, if he's doing anything new since Arsenal. I haven't heard anything.
I don't know either. But I mean, yeah, it is possible, of course, to be in Monaco and to work and stay in contact with the club. You know, we're in an era where technology allows you to work from anywhere. You know, you can Zoom, you can WhatsApp and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, like you say, it's how it looks and how certain things have gone down. And look, we've been linked with a number, or one or two anyway, of Kia's clients. Neto, the goalkeeper from Barcelona, linked to us earlier in the year and again during this summer. So if there is an element of, like you say, combining business with pleasure, and it involves players from an agent like that whose deals for us really haven't done much to improve things, you could understand why people would be a little bit antsy about that kind of relationship.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we have no idea who else Eddie's meeting, what else he's doing, where conversations have led so far over the summer. So I'm willing to sort of give him the benefit and the doubt in that he's been keeping himself busy in the last, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. But yeah, I mean, we all know, we all have very decent reason to be concerned about the Kia stuff, especially as the sense, we were right. I think we were all concerned about how the relationship was developing. But we had to give the, you know, a level of benefit of the doubt, because you had to wait to see how the players actually performed on the pitch. And I think it's fair to say that, as you said, Willian and Cedric have been, I mean, you just put your hands up in the air and, you know, do the Italian kind of hand pinch sign, don't you? I mean, it's not.
Even David Luiz.
They've done nothing.
Yeah. But even Luiz, you know, I mean, look, you. Yeah. It became like, oh, well, you're the best of a bad lot in a way. And I could see some of the upsides of David Luiz, but like, come on, let's not pretend that this wasn't a guy who was just playing out a couple of years of fairly comfortable football towards the end of his career. For me, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the David Luiz one was very much a foot in the door for Kia, a foot in the door that he'd been trying to get in the club for a long, long time, not being allowed under Arsene Wenger. And then obviously circumstance played into that, didn't they? I mean, we'd messed up with the Koscielny situation and we're desperate. And if Kia came in and said, well, David Luiz will come and move and that will solve your problem in 5 minutes, but by the way, I'm going to be knocking on your door every 5 minutes for the next 3 years, then, you know, it's the deal with the devil that we made.
Well, look, we'll wait and see what happens. There's still plenty of time left this summer, of course, for us not to sign any Kia clients and to sign some actual good players. So that would be one way for Edu to convince people that, you know, he's focused on his work. Until such time as that happens, though, I don't blame anybody for taking a cynical view of stuff like that. Just can't do it. I can't criticize anyone for thinking the worst because, well, you know, we've been the victims of, not the victims of, but we have experienced some of the poor decisions in very recent times. So let's wait and see what he does. Just coming back to the players that we have signed, it looks like Albert Lokonga, at the time of recording, it hasn't happened, but we believe it could happen at some point today, Thursday. Nuno Tavares as well. Profile-wise, good. Well, we don't know if they're good yet, but young players with potential who we hopefully can develop into better players who can contribute to the team and maybe can increase in value and get sold and, you know, help that kind of system of replenishment, financial replenishment anyway. So you can see why those are the players that Arsenal have gone for. Tavares is cover for Tierney. Lokonga, I'd be very surprised if he was coming in as a first-choice starter alongside Thomas Partey. It feels like that's a position that we still need to fill, depending what happens with Granit Xhaka. Of course, he could be the guy who stays. So, where do you... look, I think there are two players who can provide some depth, but in terms of giving us substantial or significant first-team improvement, I don't think they do that yet.
No, probably not. I mean, I think we always knew with the left-back signing that it was going to be as a backup role anyway, and the pressure wouldn't be on him to be kind of, you know, running at full steam from the get-go. I think the Lokonga one, even though I've not really had a chance to watch the guy, I mean, everything you read suggests that he has huge potential. And, you know, he's already a Belgium international, or at least been called up by the squad, and they are not short of very talented midfielders. So that bodes well, and he very much fits the profile of the type of player I assumed we'd be going after, given our seemingly kind of perilous financial situation. I mean, that was what the noises all were throughout the season with COVID and with, not qualifying for Europe at all, let alone the Champions League. They're the types of players I want us to be signing. I felt my initial reaction when I saw us linked with, let's say, Ben White for 50 million quid was, well, shouldn't we be getting Ben White before he becomes 50 million pound Ben White? Shouldn't we be getting the version of him 2 years before, right? I mean, I'm sure we'll get to that later. But, I mean, these guys do seem like they're the next gen. They've got sell-on value if they don't work out. They seem a bit more like we are trying to outsmart the market as opposed to just throwing money around willy-nilly on big guys, big names, people that might appease the fan base because, you know, everybody loves a big new shiny thing. I'm kind of positive, and I'd be happy to see a few more of these guys come into the squad if we're going to shift out some of the other players. And I'd love to know the story behind their signings. How did we find out about them? How long have we been watching them? You know, who made the key recommendation? At the moment, we don't really have any of that information, and we can only guess. I mean, Edu obviously has spoken about wanting to lean more on the analytics side of things, but then at the same time, you know, got rid of a scouting department and then started rehiring scouts. So it's kind of, I don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Maybe we'll get an Athletic article when the window closes with all that detail in there to find out who, you know, who is the guy who spotted Lokonga or recommended Lokonga, et cetera, et cetera. Because, yeah, I mean, I think you could see in the past we have scouts who are recommending players to varying degrees of success, but now we don't quite know who is doing that. Look, we do have this in-house formerly known as StatDNA. I can't remember what it's called now. I can't remember. They've rebranded it Arsenal Data Analytics or something like that. So, yeah, that's obviously a key part of it. Another question from the Discord from HR, who says, with Arteta's latest comments on signings, we've made one and we will try to, he says, make do with the players we have. But I think what he said was we'll try and improve the players that we have. Are you concerned at all? It felt like a really classic Arsene Wenger answer when it came, when it comes to signings. And I don't know how long Mikel Arteta is going to be the manager of Arsenal. I don't see it being a 20-year thing by any stretch of the imagination. And it takes a little while for you to really get to know the sort of verbal foibles of a man, as we came to with Arsene down the years. But that kind of thing is like, well, are you going to make transfers? Well, we're more focused on improving the players that we have, et cetera, giving nothing away. So it's something similar like that. But it does strike me as just a way of not fueling any kind of speculation rather than we're not going to make any signings.
Yeah, I actually saw the video of him answering the question, and he sort of was sort of smiling, and it was almost like he was like, oh, here we go. Like, here comes the kind of bombarding or the bombardment of questions about transfers. You know, I'm back into the press game again. Yeah, I just think he was kind of trying to calm everybody down a little bit. I think he knows full well that he's facing an incredibly hectic month, and there's definitely going to be comings and goings. And right now, he doesn't have anything to say, and he's always sort of kept his cards pretty close to his chest on these matters, which made the fact that, you know, he kind of was so definitive in saying that Emil Smith Rowe would be staying. I think that's one that he's poured cold water on the Villa link for quite a while. Even though he was then asked about that and then said no comment. I think no comment was, it's been fucking ridiculous. I can't believe they've even bothered trying, which is basically what all the fans have kind of their take on it as well.
I mean, how much do you buy into the ongoing tease that is Emile Smith Rowe and his shirt number and all that kind of stuff? Because, you know, I do wonder sometimes if some of it is deliberate or not, you know, but there are pictures where he's holding his hands over his chest to obscure his number, and people are going, look at all the training pictures. You can see the number on everyone. Everyone's got a number apart from Smith Rowe. Yeah. Like, it feels like it could be a bit of a long tease, but I'm putting some money on 10. Going to put some money on 10 for Smith Rowe with his new contract, because they can't give him, I think you made this point to me during the week, they can't give him the new number without really announcing a new contract, can they?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're completely tied together. I did see that someone had zoomed in on one of the pictures where he was in the background, and they'd gone right into it, the number that was on one of his flip-flops.
Enhance.
And that did look like, it did look like it was 10. So I think while they've been trying to tease everybody, it will be very clear very soon that he's going to be the new Dennis Bergkamp. No pressure.
No pressure at all. Do you think that? Do you think that's a real thing? The pressure of a number for a player. Do you think they would think that? Because, you know, people will say, "Well, Smith Rowe, he's only 20. He's only really played half a season with us at Premier League level. You know, he did have that breakthrough season, but he played most of those games in the Europa League. All our hopes are resting on this Hale End Academy graduate, 20 years of age. We've given him a new 5-year contract. You know, I'm hoping, assuming that that's going to be the case, 5 years plus 1 year, plus 1 year, plus 1 year, something like that. And we have these expectations of what he can do. Then we're going to say, now, following the esteemed footsteps of Paul Merson, Dennis Bergkamp, Jack Wilshere, Mesut Ozil, William Gall, well, no, sorry, you know, but these incredible players down the years who have worn that number 10, and people will say that's a heavy burden. It's a heavy burden for a player, the same way like a big transfer fee is a burden. Do you think they really care about that? Do you think if he's wearing 10 next season, is going to be like, oh, I've got to play well because I'm wearing 10? Is it not just a case, I've got to play well because I'm playing for Arsenal?
Well, I think with these situations, the club doesn't just sort of go willy-nilly, oh, here's the 10 shirt, I don't think. He probably has asked for it. So I think he's backing himself to be, you know, a player capable of pulling that number off. I mean, ultimately, squad numbers don't really make any difference. They shouldn't matter, should they? I mean, back in the day, 1 to 11 was just the shirt you were given on the day of the game, wasn't it? You know, the players used to move around quite a lot, and at the same time, you can't hide the history. and you can't hide the inevitable links that will come with it. I mean, it is an iconic shirt in the club's, you know, recent past as well as kind of historical past. And you do need to have some confidence. I mean, it would be interesting if, say, he signed the new deal and said, you know what, I'm perfectly happy with 32 or whatever it was that he was wearing previously, you know, kind of almost like a gesture. If it doesn't really bother me, I'm not really into the star stuff, but I'm sure from a marketing perspective, being Arsenal's number 10, puts him onto another plane. You know, he'll be able to command, you know, significantly bigger figures from sports brands and other potential sponsors and stuff. So, I mean, it would be remiss of his representatives not to push that type of thing if the opportunity is there for him to take it. Much like with Bukayo and the number 7. But, you know, we've got an interesting kind of lineup now of 1 to 10. You know, Leno, Bellerin, Tierney, I think Saliba, Gabriel, Partey, Saka. We're missing an 8. We've got Lacazette. I'm missing a 10, but could be Smith Rowe, and then Torreira, who's 11, which is a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, I've got to sort that one out. Central midfielders should not wear 11. I mean, I think there are numbers that certain players should not wear. You know, centre half should not wear 10. Certainly not a former Chelsea centre half should never, ever wear a 10. One of the greatest abominations in the long and storied history of this club. But let's not go there. Yeah, look, we're missing an 8, which I think could well be one of the signings that comes in. We're hoping that that central midfield signing will come in. Joe Willock, Mikel Arteta made some comments about him during the week. And he said, you know, actually better than I, what he said, it was something like, in the time that he's with us, we're going to work hard with him, something like that. Joe's going to be with us, but in that time, which felt a little bit strange. And there is talk of a loan move again to Newcastle. It feels like the Willock thing, like everything these days, there's sort of two camps. One is that Arsenal need goals from midfield. We have a goal-scoring midfielder. Let's keep and use the goal-scoring midfielder. Versus the, he's never going to score that many goals in quick succession ever again is a brilliant purple patch, but that's kind of all it was. His value is through the roof because of it. Now is the time to cash in on an academy player who, while decent, is never going to be the guy we need long term, etc., etc., etc. So, you know, I could see both sides of that particular argument. But this idea of another loan, where does that sit with you in the grand scheme of things?
It just doesn't really make sense to me unless there's an option to buy, unless you're guaranteeing future income. It doesn't really make sense to just let him go out on loan. I mean, he obviously did very well at Newcastle, proved that he can score goals in the Premier League, proved that he can be a Premier League player, and also increased his value. And I think you either make use of one or other of those things. You don't do the opposite, which is kind of go down the middle ground again and just give the goals to another club and don't take the value. It just doesn't really sit well with me at all. I feel like Joe is more likely to get sold still than loaned. And I think that we're just not making a decision on it at the moment, because in essence, we know there's a buyer there. And we don't know that there's a buyer for some of the other players. And it may be that further down the line, we get to a point where we go, okay, we better take this money because we need to reinvest. We haven't had the success we wanted in the market selling other players. Let's sell Joe. We'll take the risk. We'll move that money elsewhere and cover the incoming signing of X. But I can understand why Newcastle fans are super excited about the idea of having Joe back on loan. My worry would be that he'll never live up to the standards that he set himself last season. And if we're not then therefore safeguarding the value, the figure that we could get now, I mean, that would be mad.
Yeah, I mean, there was a suggestion that maybe we were going to extend his contract and then loan him out, which maybe protects the value. I'm just checking out his contract length here. I think it's 2023. So he's got a couple of years left right now, but if you were to loan him this summer without an extension, you've got a player in the position that we continually find ourselves in with a year left, where you find it hard either to move them on because they don't want to go. They're quite happy to sit out and see the final year because a Bosman is more attractive. They've got better options, et cetera, et cetera. So if there was a willingness on his part to extend his Arsenal contract and then go on loan, is that a middle ground you think we could at least rationalize in this market that we're in right now, which I do think to some extent is playing a part in some of the weirdness in terms of the deals that we're seeing, or some of the reported rumors that we're seeing around certain deals, that the market itself is playing a part?
I mean, I could rationalize extending the deal, protecting his value, if you were guaranteeing me someone who is actually going to play that role this season. You know, I say that because I think, you know, if you've lost Ødegaard and you lose, let's say, potentially Nelson, and who knows, if you got lucky getting rid of Willian, and then you were saying to Joe Willock, okay, well, you can go as well. We need goals from midfield. We need attacking threat. And if you... I can see us allowing it on those terms if we know we've got someone lined up who can come in. I recognise that we don't have as many games this season, that we don't need as big a squad, but God, goals from midfield are so important to any team. Arteta has said repeatedly that we don't get enough of them. You've got a player there who's shown that he has qualities that Arsenal's squad doesn't have, really. Late runs into the box and ability to sniff out a goal in the 6-yard box, which is where most of his Newcastle goals came from. I recognise also that he doesn't necessarily fit the type of play that we've, you know, maybe Newcastle was a better fit for him and we haven't been able to get the best out of him. But yeah, all right, yeah, if we extend his deal, I could just about see it. I'll allow it.
You'll allow it. You know, I would be more inclined to keep him simply because we need goal threat. I suppose one thing to point out is that, like, Joe Willock might want to go on loan to somewhere where he feels he's going to play on a regular basis. Whereas, you know, if you were to define a certain role for him at Arsenal where you say, look, we don't score enough goals. As a team, we don't score enough goals. Our midfield does not score anywhere near enough goals. The central midfielders that we had at the club last season scored a grand total of 2 Premier League goals between them last season. It's nowhere near good enough. So I think you could make a very good case for keeping someone like Joe Willock, not in that classic super sub role, but as somebody who gives you something from midfield that nobody else we have at the club right now can give us. And if you're needing to introduce players in the second half, late in the second half, for example, you've got 2 ways of doing it, I guess. One is sort of like a like-for-like swap in terms of forward players. If your right winger hasn't scored, you've got someone else, you can throw him on, or your striker can come on, or, you know, you can obviously throw on a forward player for a fullback or whatever it might be. But to bring somebody on in midfield who can arrive in the box, who can finish when he gets in there, whose movement is good enough to score against pretty much any team, as we saw when he played for Newcastle last season, I think that's a little bit of a wild card that could be really useful for us next season. And I know there are people out there who disagree, who think we should just cash in, take the money, spend it well. But A, I don't really trust that we would spend it well. And B, this is, I'm not going to say a proven Premier League player, but this is somebody who has shown that if you put him in the right areas, he can certainly score the goals.
Yeah, there's one other element, which is he's a homegrown player, and we're desperately short of those in and around the first team squad and need them to be able to maximise the size of the squad. So I've always advocated keeping Joe around just because I think he brings something different. He's the one player in the squad who kind of has reminded me, albeit in a small part, of Aaron Ramsey, and, you know, those runs into the box, the goals and stuff. I think he's got some improving to do, but I definitely think if he can accept a year of being part of a squad and not necessarily being a regular starter, which is not easy to do at this age, especially if you've had that taste of regular game time at Newcastle. And, you know, I imagine having 50,000 Geordies next season cheering you on is something that you could easily find very, very attractive compared to, you know, up there from empty stadiums. So, I'd happily see Joe given a chance this season at Arsenal. But yeah, you're right. I think it's a two-way street. He has to make that decision as well.
I mean, there's nothing to say that, you know, if he did start the season as a a super sub kind of player. It depends how much he backs himself to make an impact that makes him difficult to drop, or he could play himself into being a first team player. And I know there are issues with the system, if you like, when it comes to how much he fits into the system that we have, but the system that we have hasn't necessarily been that successful anyway. So maybe there's something to be said for changing the system. I'm not saying change the system to accommodate Joe Willock per se, but it could be a case that a shift towards a more 4-3-3 could benefit him. That will depend entirely on what we do in the transfer market, of course, and you know, who Mikel Arteta has got available to him. Let's do one more just very quickly from the Discord before we go. Goldie1987 says, what was your opinion of Maitland-Niles playing in central midfield against Tibbs? Said, I thought he was one of the better players in the first half and could do a decent job for us there this season. And there was another one as well. Armchair Arsenal says, do you think Maitland-Niles gets a chance preseason, or is this putting him in the shop window? Again, homegrown player helps us out in that regard. Cheap too, cheap option.
I mean, he put himself in the shop window, didn't he, with that interview a few weeks ago when he himself went to the press and basically said, Arsenal need to tell me what they want to do with me. I'm happy to go elsewhere. You know, I'm not scared to try my luck elsewhere. I mean, it was a bit of a weird move, and we've not had any particular fallout from it. I guess his representatives pushed him out into the open and said, go and do this interview and you'll get a reaction from the club, because he seemed to be concerned that he'd not had any contact with Mikel Arteta since returning from West Brom. And I think if Sam Allardyce is saying to you, become an Arsenal player in whatever position you can, that suggests to me that Sam Allardyce doesn't necessarily think you're up to the Arsenal standards to be the central midfielder there. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh there. I think if Ainsley Maitland-Niles is going to be an Arsenal central midfielder, he'd be an Arsenal central midfielder by now. And the fact that we're still having this conversation 3-4 years after he made his breakthrough into the team, to me, suggests that he's not really considered there. I mean, yeah, he had, 15, 20 minutes maybe against Austria Vienna in a home game last season in that role. Maybe it's a bit longer. But Arteta just... I don't think Arteta trusts him on the ball. I think he's wary of how profligate he can sometimes be in possession, and it's such an important part of the pitch. And when Arsenal are playing in that kind of, in the way that we do, the idea that you give the ball away and get turned and get done on the transition, which is something we've been so kind of, you know, vulnerable to for a couple of seasons, that's an issue. So I don't think so. I think of all of them, I think Ainsley's probably the most likely of all the young ones. I think Ainsley's the most likely to leave on a permanent deal. I think, you know, Reece would go on loan, I guess, if we decide that we can extend Joe's contract, as we just discussed, then maybe that's an option to send him on loan. But I'd take the money and run with Ainsley at this point, I'm afraid.
Okay. Well, look, we'll wait and see what happens. Reece Nelson, only a year. No, he's got 2 years left on his deal, 2023, so it's not quite as urgent. But look, Nelson, Nketiah, Maitland-Niles, Willock, these guys who have come through the academy and done really well to get to this point, seem to be the one, or some of the ones anyway, around whom there's the biggest question marks. But look, let's finish on a positive note. The only thing that Mikel Arteta really has to do now in this summer is sort out the goalkeeping situation, the defence, the midfield, and the attack, and the way we play, and being good. So I think we're on track.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he had a couple of weeks off to clear his head. I mean, I worry for him because the to-do list is so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, as someone who creates a lot of to-do lists on a day-to-day basis, I know that my heart starts to palpitate when they get really, really, really long. And that is a really long one. And he's really not helped by that start to the season. No. You know, the pressure will be on him automatically if we lose to the two Champions League finalists. So, yeah, not ideal. Good luck, Mikel.
Best of luck to Mikel and to Edu when he gets back from hanging out on yachts with rich people, and to Richard Garlick and all the rest of them. Okay, we'll see what happens over the weekend. I do think Lokonga is going to happen. It looks very much like Ben White is also going to happen. So, you know, there's a few bits and pieces beginning to go down, but more needs to happen. It needs to happen relatively soon. So we'll cover that, of course, on the site, the podcast and everything else. For now, though, Andrew, thank you very much.
Lovely chatting. Until next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Thank you very much indeed to Andrew. You can find him on Twitter at @AAllenSport, at @AAllenSport. And you can listen to more of Andrew on his own podcast called Left Field Podcast. Get it wherever you get podcasts. How many times can I say the word podcast in the next few seconds? Probably loads. Podcast, yeah, no, I'm not going to. That can't be us. So check out Left Field Podcast, recorded with, of course, the son of Terry Wogan. Isn't that a thing? There you go. Right. That's just about that for this week. There is more preseason football, as we said, at the weekend. Arsenal versus Rangers. Rangers versus Arsenal at Ibrox. And after that, there's a trip to America next weekend, a game against Inter Milan in Florida. And after that, we play either Everton or Millonarios. I don't know quite how that works out. Loser versus loser, winner versus winner. It doesn't really matter. We're going to play one of those teams. So there's a trip to America, some training in the heat, and plenty of pictures, I'm sure, on the official website. And hopefully some new players by the time we come back. I think that is when we need to start looking at really making the additions that we need to make. But all in good time or bad time. Who knows? Who knows? This is Arsenal after all. As ever, I would like to thank you for being here and thank you for listening, subscribing, giving us a rating, a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever the fuck it's called now. It's really appreciated. James and I will be here on Monday with an Arscast Extra. So please do join us for that. In the meantime, take it easy, look after yourselves, and I'll catch you on the next one. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hello, children. Welcome back to school. Our first exercise today is tell the class what you did during your holidays. Who wants to go first? Nobody? Okay, Pierre, you go first.
I went on my holidays and I ran a lot and I did a lot of circuit training and many hours of high-intensity running in order to come back fit as possible.
Very good, Pierre. It sounds like you took good care of yourself during the holidays. Who's next? Reese, let's hear from you.
Yes, sir. I went on holidays with my friend Joe, and we ran up and down the beach, and we ran up mountains, and we ran everywhere we could run to. And when we didn't do any running, we was lifting weights, really heavy weights, sir, miss, sir.
Thank you, Reese. You're a good and conscientious student. Now, who else? Willian, what did you do this summer?
Pies.
Pies?
Yes, pies.
What about pies?
I ate pies.
But why don't you like pies, Willian?
I do like pies. I ate pies.
Oh, you 8 pies. How many pies did you eat, William?
All of them.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.